halfway through the Illegal Curve Hockey Show for this Saturday, the 18th of June. Drew Mandel and Ezra Ginsberg with you. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the program David Pagnotta. David, you can read his work and see his work at thefourthperiod.com. David, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, David. You're on your way to Vegas for the NHL Awards. I hope you brought sunscreen with you.
I think the coolest day is 44.
Oh, lovely. Nice balmy temperature. You can only feel...
I'm hoping the trophies don't melt by the time the show starts.
No kidding. So, David, you're heading to Vegas where we expect the Black Knights will be announced as a new expansion team 15 years from now. Will you still be going to Vegas to see a Black Knights game, or do you think that this is an error in judgment by the NHL?
No, I think we'll still be going there. There's the 13 almost 14,000, people that bought season tickets. Beyond the businesses, beyond the casinos and all that, shows you that there's some kind of desire for a sports team. Now, if that stays the pace, if the Oakland Raiders end up moving to Vegas, or if the NBA ends up expanding there, which the NBA is looking closely and wants to see what the NHL does, before deciding whether or not they want to expand to Vegas. But, I see this being something that works. And there's a small community in terms of, a hockey community in Las Vegas. But there's a strong, it's a pretty strong community. It goes well beyond this year. This goes back to when the IHL had their team there. And there are NHL players that have retired that moved and call Vegas home. I know everyone's talking about Vegas for the obvious reasons and questioning its stability and longevity of a professional franchise being there. But I think this is going to be a market that surprises a lot of people. The NHL certainly wants to make it competitive as quickly as possible, hence all the funny, expansion rules and draft rules and all that. But I suspect that this will be a market that's going to surprise a few people and evolve into what Tampa Bay has become, and Dallas and others.
Dave, while you're down there in Las Vegas, are you expecting that the NHL announces that Las Vegas will join the NHL during the 2017-18 season? And are you at all surprised that Quebec City is not going to be included in NHL expansion?
Yeah, the plan, as far as I know, is that 17-18 will be the first year that the Vegas team enters the National Hockey League. Teams are already preparing for next summer's expansion draft, which, based on how it happened in the late 90s and early 2000, was right before, I think it was a few days before the NHL entry draft or the draft. So I suspect that we'll see that happen again next June for an expansion draft. So teams are already prepping for that one. I'm not overly shocked that Quebec City hasn't been or won't be brought in into this go-around. The NHL loves to have a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
They love to have a market where if, for whatever reason, some team becomes available and they're the only option is to move, which we've seen before, obviously, then they want to have, they want to have a viable option, whether it's Quebec City or Seattle. Now, Seattle right now is not an option because they don't have the plans to move forward on a new facility downtown, which is the NHL's primary desire, is to have a new building downtown. They don't want to play at a key arena, which is the current arena that could sustain an NHL team from a rink standpoint, but from an optics and capacity standpoint, it doesn't meet the standards by any stretch. So Seattle is now taking a back burner, and that's played a factor into whether the NHL wants to admit it or not, and I can guarantee you they won't, but that's played a factor into Quebec's decision, plus the dollar, plus a bunch of other things. But Quebec City will get an NHL team soon. It'll be within, I would imagine, 3 to 5 years at the latest. But just this go around, it's a bit of a shot to the fans in Quebec, but unfortunately, it is what it is.
David Pagnotta of thefourthperiod.com joins us here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He's on his way to Vegas for the NHL Awards. David, in about 22 minutes time in Detroit, the announcement is expected to be made that Pavel Datsyuk is going to finish up his NHL career and head to the KHL to play out his final years as a professional. The Red Wings obviously will be saddled with his $7.5 million salary cap hit unless they're able to trade it, which is what Ken Holland is expected to try and do. If the Red Wings are able to trade away that salary cap hit, how does that affect the upcoming Steven Stamkos sweepstakes, which we expect to get underway on July 1st?
If Kenny Holland can pull it off, and he's already trying to do that, then I think Detroit's all in for Steven Stamkos. There's going to be a ton of competition for him. I think Vancouver's going to go after him pretty hard. I don't suspect the Maple Leafs will go overly hard for Steven Stamkos. I'm sure they'll be part of the mix, but I can't see them getting into bidding wars with any team simply because of, you know, their mindset and the fact that they've got Austin Matthews that's going to be a member of the Leafs in less than a week's time now. So I don't think the Leafs will be in it. I think Montreal is going to kick the tires. I think New Jersey. I think the New York Islanders. There's going to be a ton of teams that are going to be in the mix. But if Detroit can free up, and I suspect they will free up that $7.5 million, and it'll probably be a little more because they might have to give up a young roster player, then I can't see them not going all in. All indications that I've been given suggest that it's Steven Stamkos or bust for Detroit if they can move Datsyuk's contract.
Dave, there were a couple coaching hires this past week. Randy Carlyle, of course, in Anaheim, and then the Calgary Flames yesterday announcing Glenn Gulletson as that their head coach. How surprised were you that the Anaheim Ducks brought back Randy Carlyle for the second time as their head coach, and what did you think of the hire of Glenn Gulletson in Calgary?
I like the move for Calgary. I think Glenn had didn't really get too much of a long shot with the Dallas Stars as a head coach. He had, you know, pretty decent success there, but you know the lockout season played a factor for him, and ultimately was the deciding factor for their team in changing head coaches. I like the move for Calgary. Like I said, it's you know, a younger body in there. Not that Bob Hartley was overly old, but you know, he's a guy that seems to get along in terms of being a player's coach a little bit more so than, you know, what Bob Hartley traditionally has been. So I like the move for Calgary. I'm not really sure how the move in Anaheim benefits the Ducks. I know there were some clashes between players involving the head coach in Bruce Boudreau at the time. So I can only imagine that was a deciding factor for Bob Murray and his staff in Anaheim. To bring back Randy Carlyle, he says he's changed. Perhaps that's the case. Obviously, you know, time will tell. But that's my answer. That's kind of how I view it. I don't see anything overly impactful for Anaheim at this stage. You know, for their sake, I hope it, you know, I'm proven wrong. But I don't know if this is a move that overly improves them. I think more so than anything, Bob Murray and the Ducks need to improve their depth scoring, and that'll ultimately put them over the top. And I think that's what the plan is for them this offseason right now, is to add some secondary scoring to that line and try to find somebody who can fit long-term, whether it's re-signing David Perron, and whether they do that or not, they still need to find somebody who can be a top-tier left winger on that on their first unit. I think that's priority number one. And ultimately, that'll determine, for me, how successful the Ducks are going to be next season.
David Pagnotta joins us here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can find his work at thefourthperiod.com. David, Marc-Andre Fleury, we know that he was usurped by Matt Murray during the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, Murray taking over from Fleury when Fleury suffered the concussion. Where is Marc-Andre Fleury playing net for next season? Which team?
I don't think it'll be Pittsburgh. I'm pretty sure it's not Pittsburgh. I think the Dallas Stars are going to have some serious interest. I think Calgary is going to have serious interest. I think Toronto is going to have decent enough interest in Marc-Andre Fleury. Right now, and this is just, I mean, I know there's interest, but just a gut feeling, I think it comes down to Dallas and Calgary. I think Dallas is more in a win-now position. You know, Fleury's got a team of or a list of 12 teams that he can not be traded to. So So I don't know if Calgary's on that list. I would suspect that Dallas would certainly be ahead of Calgary from Fleury's perspective. If I'm a betting guy, I'll throw down a few bucks that Dallas ends up being the team right now, unless we see another club really step up, because we know the New York Islanders are questioning their options or evaluating their options as to what they want to do between the pipes, whether it's moving ahead with Thomas Greiss or Yarrow Halak or making a move and bringing in a new body between the pipes.
You know, Dave, earlier in the program, we were talking about some of the teams that might be active, you know, leading up to the NHL draft, which is less than a week away here. Some of the teams that have been a little more quiet that people aren't talking about right now that didn't have as good of a season maybe as they expected, are there any teams that you're expecting to be more active than maybe people think leading up into free agency in the draft? For example, a team like the Montreal Canadiens.
Well, the Habs, I mean, you know, there's a lot of talk and that they're looking to move up from the ninth position. While that's certainly the case, I don't think they're in a position to do that, to really make an impactful move for them. I think priority for the Canadiens, while, you know, if the right deal falls into their lap and they have the opportunity to move up, I think that might come into play and be something that Marc Bergevin takes advantage of. But quite frankly, I think that they're more focused on adding a legitimate scorer to the lineup. Now, looking at the roster, or excuse me, looking at the free agent list and what's available, I don't know if that comes via free agency. I think there might be a better chance that comes via the trade market. And I think that's something that Marc Bergevin, and he's been looking for a while, he's been looking for years to bring in an extra goal scorer to that lineup. You know, going back to when he brought Thomas Vanacken at the trade deadline, and that obviously wasn't a long-term solution for them. I think the trade route is more so the option that Montreal goes in making a move. But I think other teams, Tampa's one to watch in terms of Ben Bishop, and this will factor into to Marc-Andre Fleury's future. I think the Vancouver Canucks are going to be pretty active, to be honest. They're in, you know, quasi-rebuild where they want to get the young guys in place, but they still want to compete next season. And I think the Edmonton Oilers are going to be a team that we should certainly keep an eye on with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Nail Yakupov, two guys that there's a really good chance they're going to be moved. And I'll be honest, guys, I'm really interested to see what the Jets do moving forward, because we know that they've got some guys up front that they want to add. We know that they want to ultimately replace Andrew Ladd's position in the lineup. And I don't know if they're overly comfortable with doing that with the young kids. I think that Kevin Cheveldayoff's going to explore some trade options here in the days leading up to the draft.
David, we'll let you go on this last question. This is the Cup Finals obviously just ended earlier in the week with the Sharks being defeated by the Penguins. It's the first time in recent memory that it hasn't been either the Blackhawks or the Kings as the Western Conference Stanley Cup representative. Are we seeing, you know, maybe a bit of a changing of the guard in the power structure in the Western Conference? You look at the Kings, you look at the Blackhawks, you look at their salary cap troubles, you look at the fact they're not really going to be able to add anybody this offseason, either team. Are we maybe beginning to see, certainly not the end of them as Stanley Cup contenders, but is everybody else that isn't the Blackhawks and the Kings beginning to catch up to those two teams as we head into the 2016-17 NHL season?
I think that Chicago still kind of leads that pack. And I suspect they're going to be a little creative. I mean, this could be another team that gets really creative in trying to add some pieces. I don't think they're going to be overly active in terms of what they're able to accomplish, but I think if they can make one particular move up front by adding some additional firepower, then I think that's what Chicago wants to do. But even if they don't do that, I still think that they're a team built to be a Stanley Cup favorite leading into next season. The Kings are almost there as well. They've got some decisions they need to make with Milan Lucic. They've got an offer that they're going to be submitting to him, I believe, this weekend, if not already this morning, in terms of a multi-year deal. They haven't actually offered him a contract since prior to the playoffs, so there hasn't really been much negotiation going back and forth, and Dean Lombardi, their GM, kind of sugarcoated a little bit, trying to insinuate that maybe there has been a little bit of talk, but according to a few people that I've spoken to, that hasn't been the case, but they'll certainly get an offer now. I think if Los Angeles can either re-sign and or replace Milan Lucic and add on their blue line, which is a priority for Dean Lombardi. He's going to bring in some kind of defenseman. I'm not exactly sure. I can't tell you who just yet because I don't know. But they're going to bring in a top four defenseman or a top three defenseman. If they pull that off and bring back Lucic or replace him, then you got to factor the Kings as still a team that are a top contender in that. And if Dallas can solve its goaltending dilemma, and their goaltenders weren't bad last season, but they still need that one guy to put them over the hump, then I think you throw the Stars back atop that list as well. There's a lot of teams that are almost there but are missing those key pieces. And if you've got a top-tier center on your team, and Dallas has that, and the Kings have that, and the Blackhawks have that, and you know San Jose's got that as well, if a team like St. Louis brings a guy in as a top-tier number one center, you throw them into the mix. But I think top contenders, long-winded answer, sorry,
okay.
LA, Chicago, and I would throw Dallas in there. If they can either bring in a guy like Bishop or Fleury, then I put them at the top three list.
Dave, you're going to be down in Buffalo for the draft next week?
I will be, yep.
All right, I'll have to take you out for a wobbly pop after.
And looking forward to it.
You can be assured, David, that Ezzie doesn't only have one wobbly pop, so you can have more than one with him. David Pagnotta of the fourth period.
That'll be the case.
Yeah, exactly. David Pagnotta of the fourth period.com. Thanks for doing this, David. Enjoy Vegas and keep that sunblock on.
I'll do my best. Thanks, guys.
All righty. Let's head to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. When we come back, what are we doing? When we come back, coaches throughout the league, the Ducks, the Flames, and the Blues. Next year, we'll have a new head coach. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We talk about that next here on TSN 1290.
I feel very fortunate to have this opportunity to come back and coach a quality hockey club. I've touched base with a few players and feel very comfortable and confident with their commitment that we can take this hockey club to the next level.
The Anaheim Ducks rename Randy Carlyle as head coach of their franchise after Bruce Boudreau was dismissed after a first-round playoff exit. Randy Carlyle, the new old head coach of the Anaheim Ducks. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. This segment is brought to you by Bell Acres Golf and Country Club and Clear Lake Golf Course. Illegal Curve is thrilled to be presenting the 2016 Bell Acres Pro-Am on Friday, July the 8th. Play with a pro and enjoy an incredible day of golf featuring hole prizes, pre- and post-round meals, and post-round live entertainment. For more information, visit bellacres.com.
Drew, as you know, we played Bell Acres last weekend after the show. The course is in beautiful shape. I'm not going to share my score.
It wasn't in beautiful shape when you were done with it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny. Just as aside, my golf game, I've never had trouble hitting it off the tee. Like, I don't hit it as far as you do. You hit it 275 down the middle every time.
Well, you know.
But the short game, like, when I get on the greens, and by the way, Oakmont looks like an impossible course. Like, I don't know how these guys even par these holes. But when I'm on the greens, like, I have absolutely no clue what I'm doing. Like, I go down and I kneel down and I try to read the greens and everything like that. Like,
no, you're just taking a nap is actually what you're doing.
I three-putt every hole. I three-putt. But anyways.
You know what the saying is, Ezzie? It's drive for dough and putt. Drive for show, pardon me, and putt for dough.
Yes.
So, you know, you should get out to the range early. You're playing again today?
I'm not playing today, unfortunately.
Sorry, I thought you were
I have another
today.
Commitment, but
very busy.
I'm hoping to get out there again next week, but we're super pumped up about the
tournament. If I'm going to be on the same team as you during the upcoming Bell Acres Pro-Am presented by Illegal Curve, I don't want you being an anchor on this team. I don't want you weighting it down. I don't want you to, you know, hold me back. I need you to step up your game ahead of this Pro-Am.
Drew, if you want to play for dough.
Yeah.
On
you're
on
actually
Friday.
You're gonna need some bread on the course is what you're gonna do.
Absolutely. Like we'll actually have a loaf of bread.
A loaf
on
of
the
bread,
course.
Yes. Yeah. We'll actually play for bread.
Like a marble rye we'll have on the course, and whoever shoots a better score, we'll just get that.
It's like a trophy of a marble rye.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
We'll have to bring some like jam or some margarine or something, because you don't want to just eat the bread without anything on it, right?
You need some condiment of some sort. Yeah.
Or maybe some meat. We'll get some meat from Bernstein's, make a sandwich.
Exactly. We can have a nice deal. We'll make it into a deli lunch. Let's talk about Randy Carlyle being hired as the Anaheim Ducks' new head coach. Your thoughts on Carlisle returning to Anaheim? Is this a good move? Do you see this working out well for the Anaheim Ducks?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a huge fan of Randy Carlisle, as you know, Drew. And, you know, this hire was criticized by some. But look at Randy Carlisle won a Stanley Cup, pardon me, as coach of the Anaheim Ducks in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Carlisle is an excellent coach. Look what happened, you know, after he left in Toronto. The Toronto Maple Leafs went south very quickly, Drew. You know, I understand some people say, well, you know, he wasn't a good coach when he left Anaheim. I don't buy that. I mean, he was let go and it was time for a change, and they brought in Bruce Boudreau there, and Randy Carlisle went over to Toronto. But like, Randy Carlisle knows hockey. He knows how to motivate players. And I think when you're talking about this Anaheim Ducks team, Drew, this is a team whose window to win the Stanley Cup, it isn't closing, but it's one day it will close. So I think that this is the type of team that needs to win now.
If they're
going to win the Stanley Cup, they need to win it in the next 2 or 3 years.
I say, I think 2 years is their window to win the Cup, given that, you know, Corey Perry into his early 30s, Ryan Getzlaff into his early 30s, Ryan Kessler into his early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be too many more years before all those contracts are bad contracts.
Well, I don't think Getzlaff and Perry are ever going to be bad contracts. You're talking about two guys that represented Canada at the Olympics. Like, these guys, in my opinion, these guys are future Hall of Famers.
They are. But, I mean, these guys are, you know, they're not point-per-game players. Well,
but they're not 35 years old. I think the reason why we're saying that they need to win now is because they have good prospects coming up in the system, and especially on defense. Guy like Shea Theodore came in last year.
Mm-hmm.
Vatanen, Lindholm, Josh Manson. These guys are all young on defense, but when you talk about forward, it's more of a veteran group.
Look, the Ducks have a very nice defensive core right now, young defense.
Right.
Their forward group is certainly on the old side of things.
Right.
I think you look at their forward group, and I think you need to add a forward there. I don't think they have enough offense. I don't know that they're going to in free agency. They have the room, but I think they should be players for a forward.
Well, they missed guys like Nick Bonino, and then they had Carl Hagelin, who they acquired from New York, and then they traded him to Pittsburgh. And David Perron, I know that, you know, his future is uncertain.
An unrestricted free agent.
He's a UFA, but I like David Perron. I think for that team, he fits in. But I think you're right, Drew.
You know, Jacob Silverberg has never taken the step towards being, I mean, he had 20 goals for the first time in his career last year, but he's never taken a step towards being a 55-point guy.
Silverberg, Ryan Kessler, Andrew Cogliano, that was the second line there.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that's an excellent second line. This team won the division.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. They won the Pacific Division.
The worst division in hockey.
Well.
But they won it anyways.
But they still were the best team in that division.
Sure.
They fizzled out in the playoffs. It was a disappointing playoffs for the Anaheim Ducks. But I agree with you, Drew. I think Bob Murray has some work to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting back to Randy Carlisle, though, I don't think, I mean, it's a shock to anybody that he's back. And he was interviewed, by the way, by Calgary for that head coaching position. So that tells you that it's not like it was Anaheim was the only team was after Randy Carlisle.
So Anaheim is a veteran-laden team. Calgary is a youthful team. Is Carlisle better suited for a veteran team? So you think he fits better with Anaheim than he did with Calgary, who hired Glenn Gullitson to be their new head coach?
Right, and Glenn Gullitson has obviously got Manitoba ties.
Mm-hmm.
Used to play for the Brandon Wheat Kings. When you're talking about Gullitson, he's coached in the NHL before. So this isn't his first NHL coaching job. So he's quote-unquote a younger coach.
He was with Dallas. It didn't go well when he was with Dallas.
Right, they didn't have good teams when he was coaching them. That was before Jim Neal got there.
Sure.
So when you're talking about Glenn Gullitson, I mean, he's had the track record. He actually coached in Las Vegas in the ECHL before coaching in Dallas. Excellent coach. Was an assistant coach, obviously, under John Tortorella and Willie Desjardins. In Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a great hire there. You know, from everyone that I've talked to, great hockey mind, really good communicator, everything like that. So that's a pretty prime job for him. I mean, he moves in to position. He gets to coach Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan,
tons of
Sam
young
Bennett,
yeah.
Mark Giordano on the back end. I mean, this Calgary team is an up-and-coming team. It really is. They have to figure out their goaltending situation, Drew. Maybe that's Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't know. But they're certainly going to have to bring in an NHL-caliber goaltender. Their goaltending was just not good enough this year.
No argument whatsoever.
But I like both hires.
I
really do.
You like both Carlisle in Anaheim and Gullitson in Calgary. Carlisle, that's going to be an interesting one. I think that's really – the Ducks are an intriguing team to watch as they get a little bit older. They've never been able to make it to that Stanley Cup that has been so elusive to them, at least in the last decade, let's say. Obviously, they won the Cup years ago. But as they have playoff failure after playoff failure, you wonder when is the window closed on that team. It'll be interesting to see what Randy Carlisle does with the Getzlaff-Perry team there in Anaheim.
You know what's interesting? Trent Yawney.
Yes,
he's an assistant coach with the Ducks, along with Paul McLean. Mm-hmm. So there's a Winnipeg connection there. Yawney is from Hudson Bay, Saskatchewan, and so is Glenn Gullitson.
Hudson Bay, Saskatchewan, a coaching juggernaut in the NHL now.
Yeah,
I think I saw something. There's five NHL head coaches now from Saskatchewan.
Well, it was Babcock.
Babcock for sure. I think I'd have to look to see. I saw the tweet. I'd have to look again to see who the other three are. But it sounds like Saskatchewan is a
Todd McClellan.
There you go, Todd McClellan.
He's from Saskatchewan.
There's three, so they got to figure out the other two. We'll think about it. We'll try and it'll be a trivia question for the last hour of the show. It's head to break when we come back. More on the NHL draft. We speak with Kerry Eads. He's the head coach of the Fargo Force about the USHL's draft eligible prospects. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, hour number three, coming up on TSN 1290. We're pleased to be joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Kerry Eads. Kerry is the head coach of the Fargo Force of the United States Hockey League. We're going to be talking about some of the draft-eligible prospects coming out of the USHL with the NHL draft 6 days away from today. Kerry, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on.
Always, Kerry. We always appreciate speaking with you this time of year. Let's start with the top-ranked USHL prospect. That's Clayton Keller. He plays for the United States National Team Development Program, which, of course, competes in the USHL. He had 107 points in 62 games this past season in the USHL, projected to go in and around the top 10 at the draft. In watching Keller play this season, what stood out to you most about his game?
Yeah, probably his supreme playmaking ability and top end. He's reminiscent of a Patrick Kane type of player. Not on the large size physically, but plays through traffic and buzzes around in the offensive zone with, not only can score, but, makes great plays and a real top-notch offensive player as the statistics are proving.
Kerry, Kiefer Bellows is another player that plays for the U.S. National Under-18 program. He's a center. You actually coached Kiefer the year before last when you were general manager and coach of the Sioux Falls Stampede. What was Kiefer like to coach, and what are the strengths and weaknesses of his game?
Yeah, I think Kiefer was a real pleasure to coach. He was, a young player, 11th grader in high school, so just a 16-year-old playing our league. He actually set a record for goals by a 16-year-old at 32 and helped us win a championship in Sioux Falls. So, he's a winner all the way along. I mean, he really wants to be the best. He desires to be the best. He has won a championship out of them this year when the U.S. got upset at the U18s. He had won a championship and won his last game of the season ever since Squirt. So he won two state titles at Pee Wee's, two state at Bantams, won a high school title at Dinah, came to us and won a title his 11th grade year and Clark Cup USHL title. So, with all that winning, there becomes a hunger. And, I like him a little bit to Winnipeg's Jonathan Toews, who I coached at North Dakota, in that he seems to play his best when the big games are on the line, and he also inspires his teammates to be very consistent and play at a high level.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Our guest is Kerry Eads. Kerry is the head coach of the Fargo Force of the USHL. We're talking about the USHL's draft-eligible prospects, the NHL draft coming up, of course, 6 days from today in Buffalo, New York. Kerry, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about another local Manitoba boy. That's Wade Allison of the Tri-City Storm. He had a tremendous season, certainly a tremendous playoffs with the Storm, leading them to a Clark Cup title. He was named MVP of the Clark Cup. He started off the year sort of under the radar, but has absolutely skyrocketed in the scouting rankings, particularly those of North American Central Scouting. Talk about Wade Allison. Can you tell us a little bit about his game, what makes him so dynamic, and how surprised and how impressed were you with his transformation over the course of the year?
Yeah, I know him real well. Saw him in Omaha on the U16 team 3 years ago, and then 2 years in Tri-City, who are in our division, and we play a lot. We were able to beat them out of the playoffs 2 years ago with Bellows. And Wade's game just took a step-by-step improvement each and every month. And then, as you mentioned, not only skyrocketed up the NHL Central Scouting's ratings, but skyrocketed up our league scoring and his overall play. And he's much more than scoring. He's a prototypical power forward, big, strong kid that really can take it to the net. He has soft hands in and around the net, and he can punish you physically. So I'd be surprised if he slipped any lower than the second round. But, there's a lot of good players worldwide that the NHL teams are looking at. So it'll be interesting to see where he falls. But he's got a bright future ahead of him. He continues this, continued improvement.
Kerry, one of your players is projected to go either in the first round or early second round, and that's Riley Tufte. He's a left winger. He's been called one of the top power forwards in all of the draft. He's committed to play for the University of Minnesota Duluth next season. What can you tell us about his game, and what do you think he projects as an NHLer?
Yeah, Riley can really skate. A kid 6'5", I don't know if I've seen somebody skate as effortlessly and as speedily as Riley does. And he really improved his game this year. He was a little bit of a perimeter player, has learned to go to the hard areas and get to that blue paint, and has improved his scoring touch. Really projects to be a top-end player. Maybe ranked right now a little bit down compared to other players that didn't play the entire season with us. And, it's just a young man that's kind of finding himself and growing into his body. And it's tough for those tall kids, but projection-wise, he could really be something down the road. And, it was fun to work with him and also see where he's going to end up 4 or 5 years ago, and that's why the NHL scouts get paid the big bucks.
That's why they get paid the big bucks is right. Kerry Eads joins us. Kerry is the head coach of the Fargo Force of the United States Hockey League. We're talking about the USHL's draft-eligible prospects coming up for the NHL draft next week in Buffalo. Kerry, Cameron Morrison plays down the road from you in Youngstown. He plays for the Phantoms there. He had 34 goals in 60 games this past season. Another guy with some really impressive size. He's one of the youngest draft-eligible players, given that he was born in late August. Comparisons to Eric Cole, Kyle Okposo, players like that, wingers like that. How do you best, describe Cameron Morrison's game?
Yeah, another Canadian kid that came down and had huge success in the USHL and gained a lot of exposure. He was our league's rookie of the year. Cam, as you mentioned, comparing to Okposo and Cole and people like that, again, another power forward, not quite as much bite to his game as Wade Allison, but he does play through traffic. And, he's more of a setup guy and a point producer than Wade. Maybe he's more of a finisher, but guys on a line would really be something. Put them with Clayton Keller, that would be a great professional line right there with a playmaking center and two nasty physical wingers that can make plays and finish off the plays and put them in the back of the net. So a lot of great future for him, and he's going to be another high draft pick out of our league.
Kerry, Ryan Lindgren is a defenseman for the U.S. National Under-18 team. It seems like every year there are tons of players that go in the first round from the U.S. National Under-18 team. It's obviously a great program. He's projected to go in either the second or third round. He put up 25 points this past season in 61 games. He impressed many scouts, though, at the World Under-18s in Grand Forks. He put up 5 points in 7 games for the U.S. team that won the bronze medal. What do you think he projects to as an NHLer?
Yeah, I know him well. I know the family well. Coach his older brother, Charlie. He was a goaltender for us in Sioux Falls before he went on to have a great career at St. Cloud and signed with Montreal at the end of the year and actually played a game for Montreal. So, know the family and watch Ryan's development up through Shattuck St. Mary's, a great program there, then over to the national program in Plymouth. His game has really developed. He's an all-around puck-moving defenseman. He can defend. Not the biggest kid in the world, maybe 6 feet just under, but very thick. Got thick legs, and he can defend. He can move laterally. Got a good stick on puck, and he can shoot it as well, as you can see with his points at the U18. So, kind of an all-around defenseman, maybe not outstanding at any one area, but other than character and leadership, he was the captain of that team, but a very good all-around player.
You know, Kerry, earlier in the interview, you mentioned, you referenced your days coaching in North Dakota, and you were an assistant and associate coach for 10 or 11 years, I believe, there in North Dakota. How nice was it to see the University of North Dakota win the national title this year?
Yeah, it was awesome. Number 8 was a long time coming.
Yeah.
It was about 16 years in between national championships, and you know, I was there for for the loud noise. We got just at the airport in Chicago. We got USA Cell meetings, and the lady wants to blast the speaker. So,
doesn't she know you're doing an interview?
Oh man, yeah. So it was fantastic that UND1, Coach Bradbury, obviously Winnipeg Jet ties, and Dean Jackson deserve a lot of credit, but it was fun, actually. You know, I've been gone 4 years, but still some of the players that I recruited and helped recruit there, ended up winning the championship their senior year. So fun to see them win. Also played there, so pretty deep ties to the Fighting Sioux in North Dakota.
Kerry, got a couple more for you, then we'll let you get through security in Chicago. As you said, you're jumping on a plane. Michael Graham, he's a center who played for you with the Fargo Force last season, committed to play for University of Notre Dame next year. He only played 14 games this past season for the Fargo Force. He had 6 points. Projected to go somewhere third, fourth round area in the upcoming NHL draft. How would you best describe the game that Michael Graham brings to a potential NHL team?
Yeah, I mean, Michael's down in the rankings a little bit. You know, he had a tough year, started the year with us, decided to go back to Eden Prairie High School, and then was injured at the end of his season there. And when he came back to us, he could only play 2 games. So he's actually decided to defer going to college. He's going to be coming back to us, which is outstanding for us.
Sure.
You know, he's a kind of a big kid at 6'2 and 210. Needs to improve his physical play, his strength, his consistency. A lot of inconsistencies in his game right now, but as far as skating ability and definite playmaking and scoring ability, he's right up there. So just a matter of it was a tough year of development for him, and he'll probably go in those rounds, as you said, and play a year with us and percolate in the college game. And, you know, they can sign him at 22, 23 years old. So a lot of great future ahead of Michael, but a tough year for development.
Kerry, we'll let you go on this last question. You know, throughout the course of the interview, you mentioned that there's a number of the draft-eligible prospects that are coming out of the USHL are actually Canadian kids who've gone south to play in that league, foregoing, you know, major junior here in Canada. What does that say to you about the development of the USHL and the sort of advancement of the USHL in the eyes of potential top prospects, that a lot of kids from Canada who would typically go the Canadian Hockey League route are choosing to go to the USHL instead?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously 2 major routes to go to college hockey for players in North America. There's the CHL, Major Junior, WHL in the Winnipeg area, you know, and they do a good job, obviously, historically. But, you know, the college route has really improved. Last year, I know your listeners would probably be surprised that we actually had more draft picks out of the United States Hockey League to the NHL than the WHL did, and the OHL and the Q. So.
Wow.
You know, this is the level of hockey that's being played in our league. Obviously, that's improved because of the imports from Canada and Europe that we're able to bring in our league. We're only allowed 4 players per team. But, you know, the American player has really grown. And as you can see with the numbers in the NHL, I think it's around 32% are NCAA developed. So, you know, it's just another training ground, as with the European players. And that's why our game has become so exciting. There's good players everywhere. And it's just fantastic to watch.
Well, certainly Winnipeg Jets fans have enjoyed the pipeline between the USHL and the Jets with Jacob Trouba, Kyle Connor, of course, and Jack Roslovic hopefully coming up in the very near future. Kerry Eads is the head coach of the Fargo Force of the USHL. He joins us to discuss draft-eligible prospects from the USHL. Kerry, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much for joining us here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Always great to be on your show, guys. Have a nice weekend.
You too, Kerry. Thanks very much for joining us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. When we come back, we're going to talk about contract signings, trades, and departures throughout the NHL. Big thank you to Kerry Eads of the Fargo Force, the head coach, for joining us to talk
about the USHL draft-eligible prospects. Before him, Brendan Ross joined us to talk about OHL draft-eligible prospects. It'll all be available for download on our website, illegalcurve.com, to get you up to speed in time for next Friday's first round of the NHL draft. Of course, you can hear it live on TSN 1290. Ezzy will be down there in Buffalo. Dave Manuk of illegalcurve.com. Hustler and Lawless, full team coverage here on TSN 1290, getting you set for next Friday's first round of the NHL draft, along with Saturday's rounds 2 through 7.
Yeah, super awesome guy, Kerry Eads, longtime assistant coach of University of North Dakota, does a great job in the United States Hockey League. It was great to have him on. Maybe not as good of a year for USHL prospects, but when you're talking about guys like Clayton Keller and Kiefer Bellows and Riley Tuft of the Fargo Force, there's still some really good players that are going to go in the first round.
Yeah.
So it was great to have him on.
Yeah, no, the USHL is becoming a force to be reckoned with when it comes to junior hockey.
You know, was that a pun intended because Kerry's the head coach and GM of the Fargo Force?
It wasn't. It was just a happy coincidence.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, welcome back to the program here. This segment is brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for nearly 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. If you're looking for a Father's Day place, maybe you want to have a Father's Day brunch tomorrow or Father's Day breakfast or a Father's Day lunch, Bernstein's Deli is there. They are going to be open. My family's heading there for Father's Day. So check it out, bernsteinsdeli.com. Give them a call. You can go to Father's Day lunch at Bernstein's Deli.
So, Drew, you're obviously going to Bernstein's with the familia for Father's Day with Sheldon slash dad.
Sheldon slash dad, yes.
Did you also get Sheldon slash dad a Father's Day present?
I got Sheldon slash dad a combination Father's Day present and birthday present. His birthday is coming up next month. It's a milestone birthday for Sheldon. So he's never seen Springsteen before. So we bought him tickets to go to Chicago. He's going to go see Bruce Springsteen at the United Center in Chicago at the end of August.
It's a pretty good present.
Well, you know, I'm a generous sort, as it were. It's also, you know, this is where you would say, Ezzy, to me, you know, happy Father's Day, given that it's my first Father's Day that's coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, but you're a new father. That doesn't really count. Father's Day is more so for the well-established fathers.
I would argue it's probably the exact opposite, that the first Father's Day is the biggest Father's Day of them all.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're a father too. You just don't know about the kids.
Happy Father's Day, Drew.
Thank you, Ezzy.
I hope you have a great day. May you be blessed with wisdom.
With wisdom. So much wisdom. An inside joke going back to my wedding, but that's a separate issue altogether. Let's talk about, first of all, let's start with Pavel Datsyuk, who was announced about 22 minutes ago, the worst kept secret in the NHL, made official. Pavel Datsyuk is leaving the Detroit Red Wings with 1 year and $7.5 million left on his contract. He's heading back to the KHL, where he's going to finish up his professional career. You know, your thoughts on Datsyuk in the NHL? Are you surprised by this move? You know, and what does it mean for the Detroit Red Wings going to have to try and get out from underneath that 1 year, $7.5 million contract? It's not a contract that they can send it away anywhere, given that it was signed, you know, it was a after 35 contract when it was signed.
Drew, this is not a surprise to anybody, right? The writing was on the wall here. Pavel Datsyuk struggled this year. He only had 1 point in 5 playoff games for the Detroit Red Wings, who bowed out to the Tampa Bay Lightning, of course, in the first round. But, I mean, look, you're talking about arguably the best stick handler in the history of the NHL. Mm-hmm. He's a surefire Hall of Famer. I don't think anybody's going to argue about that. He's got the Stanley Cups. He's won at the international level. He's probably a top three, top five Russian player of all time. He always gets voted in NHL player polls as the guy that's the most exciting to watch, and who players like to play against the most, maybe don't like to play against. But no, we knew that this was going to happen, Drew, and this means that Kenny Holland is going to have to find a way to get rid of this contract. And we saw earlier this week the Florida Panthers and New Jersey Devils made a trade, and they got rid of Mark Savard's contract.
Sure, Mark Savard, who's forced has been forced to retire because of injuries.
Right, and then we saw Arizona earlier, well, not earlier this season, but last season, acquire Chris Pronger's contract from the Philadelphia Flyers in exchange for Sam Gagner, and I think there was a draft pick involved there. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Detroit Red Wings at the draft or during the offseason try to get rid of that contract. And the question becomes, do they have to give up a roster player like a Teemu Pulkkinen or one of their lower prospects?
Well, similar to what we saw the Blackhawks do this week, having to get Bickle off their books. They had to give up Tuuvo Teravainen.
Right, and that by the way, I know we didn't really talk about that after with Tracy Myers. We talked about it with Tracy Myers, but I think they gave up a little bit too much there. When you're talking about Tuuvo Teravainen, sure, he's a first-round pick, but that's a guy that can score 25 goals and 50 points for your team.
I thought it was a big price to pay.
So that was a big price to pay, but they've been trying to get rid of Brian Bickle's contract for 2 years now.
I think what they would say is they won't be able to afford Teravainen when he comes up for free agency because they're going to have to pay Panarin. So it's sort of, I mean, they have to, you know, you got to pay Panarin, so you got to trade Teravainen. Now, they got a second and third from Carolina. You can argue if that's enough of a return. But, I mean, the Blackhawks are in salary cap jail because they've been so good for so many years, which speaks to, you know, there's a lot of questions about whether or not the NHL salary cap is a good thing.
But the problem is, Drew, you don't know what those second or third round picks are going to turn into. And you know that Teravainen was a first round pick who has already produced at the NHL level. Sure, on Chicago, he was a third liner, but he instantly goes to Carolina where he's going to be a top six winger, right? So I think Carolina did really well there. Brian Bickle's a guy, more of a fourth line guy at this stage in his career, but he's a guy that's also got the Stanley Cup pedigree. He's a good player for Carolina. It's nice to see him continue his NHL career, but you know, back to Pavel Datsyuk here for a second. It's unfortunate that for personal reasons he wants to go back to Russia and finish his career, and Detroit is saddled now with his $7.5 million contract. But Ken Holland is a very astute GM, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to figure this out. We talked to David Pagnotta last hour. Detroit seems to be a possible destination for Steven Stamkos, which would be pretty funny, you know, considering that he'd be leaving Steve Yzerman in Tampa and then going back to Detroit, right?
Sure.
But they have to replace Pavel Datsyuk. And, you know, talking about teams, you know, what stages they are in the development process and all that, Detroit's another one of those teams. They make the playoffs every year, Drew. They're not going to go into rebuild mode here now. They're going to be active in the free agency market. They're going to try to replace Pavel Datsyuk's offense now.
I don't think it'll be too difficult for them to replace Pavel Datsyuk. I mean, first of all, it's not like he's got 3 years left at a big ticket. It's 1 year, so you take some team in the NHL is going to take a little bit of short-term pain. You know, do the Red Wings a favor, take on Datsyuk's contract. They'll get a prospect or a draft pick in return. They got to get to the floor anyways. A team like the Coyotes is $18 million below the NHL floor. They got to get up there. There's no rule that says they're allowed to. So they take on the contract. They get a prospect. The Red Wings get out from under the contract. And I think they're going to be, you know, like you said, we talked about it with David Pagnotta. I think they're going to be players in the Steven Stamkos sweepstakes. And boy, wouldn't Stamkos look pretty good with Dylan Larkin in the Red Wings. That's a decent 1-2 punch up the middle.
Well, and also Detroit is pretty close to Ontario, where Steven Stamkos is from and all that. So I think it's an option. I mean, Toronto, I think, is still very much in play, and I think Montreal is in play as well for Steven Stamkos.
Well, you know, a market for Steven Stamkos is going to be robust. There's no surprise there. We've known that if he chooses to leave Tampa Bay, as I think he's going to, because if he was going to stay in Tampa Bay, I think the contract would have been done by now, but you never know. You know, stranger things have happened as we approach July 1st here. Some breaking news out of Anaheim. They've just announced that they've re-signed RFA defenseman Sammy Vatanen to a 4-year contract extension. We were just talking about the Ducks a couple segments ago with regard to Randy Carlyle being hired. The Ducks get in on one of their own RFA defensemen, Sammy Vatanen, a 4-year contract. Don't know the terms of the deal just yet. That hasn't been released, so we're going to wait and see on that. You expect that Hampus Lindholm is next up for the Ducks as they have to get him under contract. They're tremendously talented. Another tremendously talented young defenseman that the Ducks have.
And Sammy Vatanen has become a top pairing defenseman for the Anaheim Ducks, along with Hampus Lindholm and Cam Fowler. I mean, it's an excellent group of defensemen there. Mm-hmm. So no surprise that the Ducks locked up Sammy Vatanen. They didn't want that to trickle into the summer. An excellent puck-rushing defenseman. He can play on the power play, play on penalty kill. Super talented guy. Skates really well. And you're right. I think Lindholm is probably going to be the next guy that they sign. That's not the issue. In goal and on defense, the Anaheim Ducks are set, Drew. They just need to solidify, get another winger in there, and bring in some depth in the bottom six, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think offense is where they need to look. I mean, Frederik Andersen, still an RFA. He's in goal there. But John Gibson, you know, certainly a pedigree and a talented young goaltender there in Anaheim with John Gibson. If they choose to trade away Frederik Andersen and go with Gibson as their number one guy, we'll see what the Ducks have to do. Let's head to break. There's actually some more signings to talk about this week. Cam Ward resigns in Carolina. Some other news, some rumors, things of that nature. Let's talk about it next here on Illegal Curve. Still to come, final segment, Richard's going to join us, our good friend Richard Pollock.
Who's Richard?
Yeah, I know. We've heard of him vaguely. Announced earlier today by the Florida Panthers, Richard Pollock joining the Panthers organization as a professional scout. He's going to join us in studio for the last segment, maybe the last couple segments here this Saturday morning. Lots more to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. Seven 30 in the morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. This segment brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. Tonight at Rumors, it's final night in town after two amazing weeks. Comedian Tricks is in town. TRIXX. Tickets available at rumorscomedyclub.com. So if you're looking for something to do, check it out.
So it was Tricks just for kids?
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. That was the most obvious joke coming from a mile away. No, you have to be 18 to attend Tricks, just like you have to do it at all shows.
So Tricks are for adults?
Tricks are for adults in this case. Yes, that would be a fair way of putting it there. Welcome back into the studio for the final time. Our good friend.
Look who came in off the street.
Yeah, Mr. Pollock now. You know, you have to refer to him by Mr. For the final 30 minutes here.
I heard you guys razzing me off the top, but I have to take issue and I have to support Ezra here. The first Father's Day, Drew, is not the biggest Father's Day because your kid can't buy you a present.
What do either of you two know about being a father? Absolutely nothing.
We don't, but I feel like Father's Day, you need to, you know, the child needs to understand the significance of the day, you know, write a card, buy a present. And really, Laura will likely just be buying a present for you from your daughter.
Certainly. I mean, I readily acknowledge that my 9-month-old daughter is not able to go out on her own and purchase me a gift. But I think it is something a little bit extra special, not so much about the materialistic, but about the emotional attachment, given that it's Father's Day. How about that? Can you grant me that?
I'll grant you that. I mean, Ezzy needs some support. I'm worried Ezzy's going to get pushed around here now.
I can't push Ezzy around. You know that. Ezzy's a big man. Ezzy's his own man. Ezzy's going to be the star of this show now. I'm just here to support Ezzy and make him look good, much like I've done to you for the last 7 or 8 years or however long it's been.
This is true. And it was very odd this morning, not doing the usual routine. I still woke up before the show, obviously, and I turned on the show, and I just got tuned by you guys for the first 5 minutes, and it's been a great show. But in reality, it's just very odd. We've been doing this Saturday show since, November 2010? 10.
And before that, of course, we did the Wednesday show back when we were still with Kick FM 92.9.
So that's right. So it's been, like, the Saturday mornings for almost 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an odd feeling. I already miss it. I got to tell you guys, I already miss it. So it's been a change to the routine for sure.
Here's something I have to ask. Now, Ezzy was very upset about this. I'm reading the Panthers press release that they put out earlier today regarding you getting hired as a professional scout. A native of Winnipeg, Manitoba, Pollock founded the hockey news and analysis website IllegalCurve.com in 2007, one of the first of its kind. His writing has also been featured on ESPN and Hockey Prospectus. Most recently, Pollock has served as the lead analyst on the weekly Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I mean, that one word sort of, elevates you above poor Ezzy here. Yes. I always thought there was a very equitable sharing of analysis. All of a sudden, you're the lead analyst
show. I didn't catch that. I'll have to speak to the organization about that. I already feel uncomfortable about
Richie,
it.
Richie, I have Drew's just making fun here, breaking you know what, but I have absolutely no problem with that because you are the lead analyst. It's obviously going to be super hard to replace you, and it's nice that we're still going to be able to see you up in the press box here and all of that. But
the best part is we're going to be able to make fun of you on air, and you're not going to be able to defend yourself at all.
That already happened. Luckily, I was able to come on right now and for the next segment. But this morning, what could I do? I don't have Twitter to be able to tweet at you.
That's right. You can't respond via Twitter. You're anti-social media. So this is really a great opportunity for Ezzy and I to be able to make fun of you with no repercussions whatsoever.
Rich, I'll be honest with you. Before we started the show today, Drew... looks at me and he looks over at the spot that you're usually sitting in to the left of me in the corner. And Drew's like, you know, you can go sit in that spot now. Richie's not going to be there. And
he couldn't do it.
Got a little choked up.
He couldn't do it. He had to sit in his usual middle spot.
I think what I might do now is is always leave that spot for whoever is potentially going to be there, or if someone isn't there, and I'll always sit in the middle. You know, that'll be kind of my way of keeping. Well, obviously, we'll keep Rich involved in the show in other ways.
Right. It's like when a player gets traded, they don't replace his locker. It'll be something like that. You know, sometimes when they still leave an open locker space, the numbers.
So
coming,
just as an aside, I want to know one thing. Like Rich, like we're still going to be able to like go out for lunch together, and I can call you because you haven't been returning my calls for the last week.
Yeah,
so.
I know you guys at that. Yeah.
Let's talk about, and as we won't ask you to comment here. Sammy Vatanen's numbers just came in. I mentioned that he signed a four-year extension with the Anaheim Ducks. Vatanen, 4 years, $19.5 million. $5.5 million and $4.5 million is the salaries for Sammy Vatanen. So just under $5 million per season for the Ducks defenseman. He had been an RFA. He's now under contract for the next 4 years.
Yeah, that sounds about right for Sammy Vatanen. We talked about what he can do offensively and defensively. He's a top pairing defenseman for the Anaheim Ducks. We've always been a big fan of Sammy Vatanen's on this show, so that makes sense. And you know, Hampus Lindholm also needs a new contract. He's an RFA right now as well, so you know, we'll wait and see what happens with that. But again, yeah, that's a good signing for the Anaheim Ducks. No surprise there, though.
Yeah, we'll come back to you afterwards there, Rich. You can just sit there and be quiet for the next little while. Cam Ward signs in Carolina. There was a lot of talk about what was going to happen with Cam Ward. He gets a two-year contract extension. He takes a pay cut. No surprise. 2 years, $6.6 million to stay with the Carolina Hurricanes. $3.3 million per year is the salary cap hit. Are you surprised that the Canes decided to hold on to Cam Ward? Probably going to go into sort of a timeshare situation with... help me out here.
Anton Khudobin.
No, not Anton Khudobin. The guy they acquired from Vancouver last year at the NHL.
Oh, sorry. Eddie Lack.
Eddie Lack. Thank you. Anton Khudobin's with the Ducks now. But you're surprised that they decided to hold on to Cam Ward for 2 years?
Cam Ward played 52 games last year. And you have to wonder now if he's possibly exposed in the expansion draft. Because as we mentioned, Eddie Lack is also there in Carolina. And they kind of split duties there. Even though Eddie Lack had a bit of a disappointing season. I forgot Anton Khudobin. What am I talking about?
Okay.
So I wonder if they decide to go with Eddie Lack or Cam Ward.
Sure.
And if they decide to go with Cam Ward, Drew, who's under contract now for 2 more years, then they're going to expose Eddie Lack, right? Because teams are only going to protect one goalie.
You can only protect one goalie.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting signing. But, you know, good for him because Cam Ward has heard these trade rumors over the years and all that. I mean, the contract, let's be honest, guys. After he signed that contract, he struggled. But the Carolina Hurricanes were a mess.
Sure.
They've been rebuilding. So it's nice to see Cam Ward stay there with Carolina for at least 1 more year, possibly 2 more years. There were rumors that Cam Ward might go to another team in free agency.
Sure.
But he's still an NHL goalie. And I will say this much. Carolina was a very surprising team under Bill Peters. They didn't make the playoffs, obviously. But, you know, Cam Ward picked up 23 wins this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really rejuvenated his career this past season. And he showed that he can still play in this league.
Well, certainly the Hurricanes are a team that's are up and coming. They have a very good young defense there. Noah Hanifin, ever since he was drafted out of Boston College last season, was terrific in his rookie year in the NHL. They signed Sebastian Aho, the young Finnish player who was so good this year. I believe it was at the World Hockey Championships?
No, it was the World Juniors.
World Juniors. I can't remember
anymore.
And he
played on a line with Laine and Puljujärvi.
Sure.
So that was a early second round pick of the Carolina Hurricanes. We talked about they just acquired Tyra Vinen.
Yeah.
Hayden Fleury, Slavin. This team is trending in the right direction. They just have to figure out that other whole ownership situation and they should be okay.
Yeah, on the ice, the things are looking up. Off the ice, they're going to have a little bit of difficulty, but that's for them to figure out. A trade, Alex Goligoski, his contract rights get traded from the Dallas Stars to the Arizona Coyotes in exchange for a fifth-round pick. You like this move from the Coyotes' perspective? A pretty reasonable risk. Give up a fifth-round pick to try and get a guy under contract, be able to talk to him for an extra 2 or 3 weeks ahead before the free agency begins?
Exactly, Drew. You give up a fifth-round pick for the rights to talk to him. Mm-hmm. We talked about that when we were talking about Keith Yandle. It could be a nice replacement in Dallas for Alex Goligoski, both offensive-minded defensemen, both left-shot defensemen, roughly around the same age. So, yeah, I like that move. And, you know, Arizona is a team that's trending upwards as well, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson is obviously their number one defenseman there. But if you could add Alex Goligoski into your top four there, you're looking a lot better. And, you know, Michael Stone is a good defenseman as well. You know, Zdeněk Mihalik has struggled over the past few years. But, yeah, I like that. I like it if they sign. If Goligoski signs, it's worth the fifth-round pick. If you lose the fifth-round pick, I mean, you can't. What's there to like about that?
Well, there's nothing to like about it. I mean, a fifth-round pick is, you know, it's not a huge price to pay, even if you're not able to sign him. I guess they probably think that they're able to, you know, they like their chances of being able to sign him, I think, is what that just proves to you.
Yep.
In Vancouver, Sven Berchi signs a two-year contract extension. It's worth $3.7 million total, a cap hit of $1.85. Former first-round pick of the Calgary Flames back in 2011, just after Mark Scheifele was drafted 13th overall. Berchi never really sort of harnessed that offensive talent. This was his career year with 28 points, but he got 15 goals. And, you know, goal scoring is hard to come by in the NHL.
Yeah, Berchi's a small, speedy winger. He's a guy that came into the NHL and put up a lot of points, and then there were these really high expectations. As you mentioned, he was a high draft pick as well. But now the question becomes, is he a top six winger, or is he going to be a guy that's more suited for a complementary role, a third line guy? So for a young Vancouver team, they need him. I mean, they don't have a lot of offense. That was one of their big problems this year. They just didn't score enough goals, right? That's one of the reasons they missed the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So Berchi's a good young player. He still has time to establish himself, but he's one of those prospects that's gone a little bit sideways. He's struggled. He's been in the AHL. He's been back in the NHL, but he's certainly got a lot of potential.
One final signing. It comes out of Detroit, where they sign Riley Sheahan to a two-year, $4.15 million contract. It's just over $2 million per season. Sheahan, a bit of a down year, coming off of a year where he had 36 points, 13 goals, and 23 assists. This past season, he improved the goal totals by one, getting 14 goals. The assist totals dropped dramatically. He only had 25 points total in 81 games. He's another guy who's a former first-round pick of the Red Wings back in 2010, 21st. Overall.
Yeah, I like his game. He's more of a two-way forward, and you mentioned his offensive totals took a bit of a hit. There were a lot of guys on the Detroit Red Wings whose numbers went down this past year. It was a bit of a trying year for the Red Wings, and the first round playoffs, they didn't put up much of a fight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. But I've always liked Shannon. You know, a bridge contract for him, doesn't sign a long-term deal.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a guy that, again, you know, is he a second-line guy? Is he a third-line guy? Is he going to be more of a specialty shutdown forward? He does have the offensive ability. Like, he does have 20-goal potential, absolutely. But he struggled at times with his consistency. Certainly a very good player. And Detroit is one of those teams, again, I think, you know, there are a lot of good young players there with Tatar and Nyquist and these types of guys. Obviously, Dylan Larkin,
sure,
who you know, was a top rookie this past season, but they still are missing a bona fide top six forward.
Some guy named Stamkos.
Well, it could be Stamkos, Drew.
Yeah.
But certainly, you know, they're lacking, I think, a bona fide sniper on that team.
I would agree.
Shane's a good player. I mean, Sheahan will give you 15, 20 goals. Maybe he'll score even more goals than that. But he's more of a two-way forward. He's a guy that you'll play on the penalty kill, stuff like that.
One final segment. When we come back, we'll bring back our good friend Richard Pollock. His final 15 minutes here on the program. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. A bittersweet day here on TSN 1290. Well, it's certainly the last time we have to play Bruce Springsteen on this show. That was Richie's demand for all those years. The final segment, we'd always play Bruce Springsteen coming back from break. We might still continue that, but...
I hope so.
Yeah, I think we'll probably keep continuing.
Drew, we'll start playing more Selena Gomez for you.
That's really what I've wanted all along. A little bit of Biebs, some Selena Gomez, you know, things of that nature.
Good job by Chris there. Thank you, Chris.
Yes, of course. We wouldn't disappoint you there in your final here, 10 or so minutes of the program.
Well, I want to say just, you know, I mean, you guys are going to continue the show, so it's not like I'm going to do.
No, the show's not going anywhere.
The Oscar, which is great, and which is most important here. But
yeah,
you know, Chris and Rory and Timmy, so many different people.
Yeah.
Corey, how many people have helped us and done the show. Remus, of course.
We don't want to give Remus too much credit.
You don't see a lot of that behind the scenes, right? Who's board hopping, who's producing, and things like that. And that's been super important to the way the show has come off since we've been on the air here.
We're blithering idiots. It's really the board ops that make us sound good on a weekly basis. I mean, we can barely get a sentence together, and it's the guys behind the glass who are doing all the good work to keep it going. To reiterate, we're not going anywhere.
Yes.
You're the one who's just moving onwards and upwards into the Florida Panthers organization as a professional scout. You're still based here in Winnipeg, so you're not. It's not like really, you know, you're moving or anything. You're still going to be based here, just watching the game through a slightly different lens. Are you still going to talk to us in the press box at MTS Center?
Of course. and people, unless they change the seating arrangement, it happens to be that the scouts actually sit just over from where the TSN Legal Curve seats are, so which is awesome.
Rich, do the pro scouts get different food? Like we get like peasant food. Nuts and like sand,
lots of sand, sand. The occasional piece of gravel.
Are we gonna look over in the press box and Richie's gonna have like big brisket sandwiches and? You know, he's going to be eating, like, tartar.
Somebody actually feeds him, is my understanding. It's really good.
Grapes. He's being fanned.
That's right. He's a big block of ice behind him, fanning him down, which is odd because he's in a hockey arena in the middle of winter. Yeah. You wouldn't think you'd need that.
Richie's going to be eating, like, creme brulee for dessert, sipping on a little cappuccino, watching the game.
Yes.
Okay, you guys are having a lot of fun with this, aren't you?
Did you really think there was going to be any way we'd let you off without us really getting, you know, busting you good?
There is no question. There's absolutely no question that you guys are going to have fun with this. And as he left his phone on, so it's beeping like crazy.
It's blowing up. Everybody is texting me about you being on the show, Rich. But in all honesty, you know, I don't want to get too choked up here. But, I mean, you started a legal curve. Uh-huh. We all started a legal curve.
Hang on. That's another issue I have to bring up. You know,
Drew, you're going to cut me off when I'm getting emotional here?
I'm going to cut you off when you get emotional. You know, you put a very nice,
Chris, can we get some music like Bittersweet Symphony or something, or we got some,
or Time of Your Life by Green Day, you know, something like that would be perfect for this right now. You know, as he, you know, put up a very nice, you know, tweet, thank you, or congratulating you, something like that. You know, so he goes out and he tweets it out. You know, Richie and I and others started a legal curve. We're just others now. You know, you could have mentioned, you know, myself. You could have mentioned some of our other friends who were involved in it way back in the
day.
There
we go, Chris.
Instead,
now
it's just Richie, myself, and others.
Right.
Yeah, so you could have really sort of broadened the horizon a little bit there, but that's an issue I'll take up with you off air at another day and time.
Can't believe Drew cut me off to say that. I mean,
I know, huh?
Okay, let me continue here.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyways, Richie, it's been a long, long journey. 9 years with the website and 7.5 years doing the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Over 5 years on this station, almost 6 years on this station, but obviously it's bittersweet that you're leaving us, but we're very happy for you joining the Florida Panthers in a pro scouting role. So just want to say congratulations, man. And I love you. You're my best friend. And hopefully you still talk to me after the show.
No, it's so nice of you to say it. Yeah. And I love you guys too. And you guys have been such an important part of my life, right? Like this is, I'm going to get emotional too. So
seriously, how are you going to fill the hours that we spend together? Because it's not like, you know, it's a lot of time per week. I mean, in the summer, it's a little bit less given that, you know, there's only the one show as opposed to the two shows. But, you know, there's a lot of hours that we spend, you know, we probably spend more time with one another or as much time as we often do our own families.
This is true.
Which is hard to believe.
We'll see Rich at like special occasions like birthdays and bar mitzvahs, and weddings and bar mitzvahs and brisses. Don't forget the brisses.
Somebody needs to have a baby first before you go to
Between the Wednesday shows, I have to add some levity into the situation. My brother, has been very supportive.
AP
says to me this week.
Shout out.
So what are you doing on the Wednesday? Are you guys on like tonight or the Wednesday show? I said, Adam, the Wednesday show hasn't been on for a month and a half.
Obviously, a number one fan of ours, right?
A number one fan of ours. I said, okay, I love the support. No, but family has been so supportive, of course, and. And that's been everybody else has been, and the help has been so incredibly important and so helpful. And I wouldn't be here. I don't think we would be here if not for that support that we've received. So it's been an incredible run for me, and I'm happy that you guys are going to continue and do an amazing job. Of course, listen to the whole show this morning; it was awesome. But yeah, it's 2007, as you mentioned. September 2007 is when Legal Curve started up. All of us started up the Legal Curve, Drew. And it's been an incredible run. It's been an incredible run. I wouldn't have changed a thing.
Let me ask you this. You know the dynamic that the three of us have. And, we do work pretty well together. But like any family, we have our quibbles and we have our disagreements. How long do you think it's going to take before Ezzy and I start yelling at each other?
Well, I mean, I'm hopeful we can make it through the segment. I really am. But I think the one thing, on that point, Drew, about the yelling at each other and stuff, I think the one point that has made the show what it is that oftentimes the conversations off the air were exactly the same as the conversations on the air.
Yeah, I would agree with that. A lot of people say, it sounds, you guys think, it sounds so casual. And the truth of the matter is, from the time we started the show, these are the exact same discussions and arguments and debates and analysis we'd be providing, whether there were microphones in front of us or if we were sitting around someone's couch, watching hockey. It's the authenticity, because this is truly what we would be talking about, and that's not going to change. We have, you can certainly argue that we have one-track minds. And that one track tends to be hockey. It tends now to be the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, you got to remember, back when we started this, 4 years before the Jets were ever a dream to come back or ever thought to come back is when this entire endeavor began. And, we sort of take it for granted now, 5 years after the fact, about how much different this show sounds, how much different our conversations are when the hockey team is right in front of your eyes. 40 nights a year, another 40 nights a year on the road. You're going to be there at the Moose games as well, doing the professional scouting for the Panthers. You're going to be a busy man. We're already busy, man. Mm-hmm. It's just a next step in our transition.
Well, Drew, speak for yourself. I'm not that busy.
That's true.
Richie, you can still change your mind. I mean, like, I know it's, you've signed a contract already, but you can.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's going to be really disappointing for people if we come back next week and you're still here.
Yeah, that would be a heck of a tease, wouldn't it?
That's right. It's like, oh, sorry, we just lied to you for the last 25 minutes.
It's not April 1st,
minutes.
Though, so you know that this is unfortunately not a joke, but no, but it's great news. And, a lot of people, I was telling Richie off air, I mean, the amount of support that Richie has gotten has been incredible from all across the hockey world, and especially here in Winnipeg. And Richie, you deserve it. I mean, this is, I know, a lifelong dream for you to work in the NHL. And for me, it's been a lifelong dream talking about hockey on TSN radio, right? So we're going to continue living the dream, man.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere. Richie's, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I've been incredibly overwhelmed with the support and the emails and texts and calls I've received. That has been incredible and entirely overwhelming. And thank you guys first and foremost. Thank my mom and my dad, probably first and foremost, and you guys alongside that, and family. This has played an incredible role, but I'm gonna miss coming in here Saturdays and Wednesdays, and it's gonna be there's gonna be a part of me that's always in here.
Richie, we love you. Just make sure once in a while you text us back.
We'll leave it on that note. Richard Pollock joins us in the studio for the final time. For Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Big thank you to all our guests earlier this on the show. In case you missed any of the program, it's available for download on iTunes and on TSN 1290 and on our website, IllegalCurve.com. Our Twitter feed is @IllegalCurve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve. Big props to producer Chris behind the board, doing a fantastic job. For Ezra Ginsberg, for Richard Pollock, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.